Hello, Internet friends. On Value Side today, to my fellow boomers, it's time we take a second look at Gaza and the college protests. I'm David Revell. Well, I think it's time that we jettison the baby part, don't you? As we're preparing to shuffle off this mortal coil, it's no time to keep saying baby boomers. I never liked that term. So instead, I'll just address us as my fellow boomers. Perhaps not the greatest generation, an application that Tom Brokaw gave to our parents, we are still one of the most influential groups of all times. We lived through some extraordinary events, the first American in space, the first commercial jet airliner, transistors, computers, and all the electronic gadgets that fill our homes today. But perhaps the most welcome was the diminutive television. Often tucked in the corner of our living rooms or bedrooms, TV has been the most welcome guest for most of our lives, a constant companion that we've come to know and trust. Now, when I talk to my fellow boomers about current affairs, I most often get a TV scripted soundbite, a headline that fits nicely just before the expected 30-second commercial. Our friend, the TV, is especially welcome now that our eyesight isn't what it used to be, and reading can be progressively more difficult. I used to laugh when I walked through my mother's apartment complex. From each door was the television blaring, often all tuned to the same channel. But I'm not laughing so much now, as I too like to tune up the volume. But there's something that's happening with our young people that may just take us back to our own youth and the promise that we knew. Students around the country are beginning to stand for those same old values of truth and justice that we once too knew. This is an especially difficult time of the year for students. Final exams lie directly ahead, and after an especially cold winter, at least here in the Northeast, spring fever is in full swing. Many students, I dare say most, would rather grab their textbooks and head out to the nearest lawn to kick back and put in a few sunny hours of study. But not the students I'm talking about. The students we're discussing have put all that aside. They even risk losing their cherished degree, and that's the threat that college administrators have put on them. As you've guessed, the students I'm talking about are the ones who are demonstrating against the events unfolding in Gaza. What they see happening there has transfixed them, uniting them in a noble cause. But before we go there, I'd like to implore you to be open to the possibility that these students may comprehend the world from a very different perspective than the TV-tainted world of us, the boomer generation. I don't mean to be overly personal, but the Lester, Nora, or David that we watch each evening is not telling it straight. Yes, it's a beautifully packaged, wonderfully presented, compact view of the world, but it's often false. And it's especially false today. Let's begin by agreeing to some basic facts about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The first fact is this. The dispute did not begin on October 7, 2023. There's been an active struggle between these two for as long as most of the boomers have been alive, at least as far back as 1948, and by most accounts even before that. For decades now, the Palestinians have been restricted to a small strip of land bounded on one side by the Mediterranean Sea and on the other by what was considered the most technologically advanced containment system in the world. The Israelis assumed that barrier could not be breached. But in a daring attack on October 7th of last year, Hamas rebels did just that. Attacking a concert in progress, they killed 1,400 civilians and Israeli Defense Force soldiers in what is considered the most significant setback for Israeli's military since the 1973 war. There is no getting around the fact that this was a reprehensible act. It is the part that everyone agrees upon. Even our friends, the TV, has portrayed this in its proper light. But it is from this perspective that my fellow boomers and college students part ways, because either by omission or commission, the source of information that most used by American population, including the boomers, has not shown the devastation that has been meted out in return to the Gazans. It is now clear that the IDF has made no distinction between the innocent Palestinian residents of Gaza and the Hamas rebels. While it's true it would be difficult to distinguish between residents and rebels, Western moral tradition and international law require that the IDF make every effort to do so. Target identification is critical in any urban warfare, and it's becoming increasingly apparent that the IDF isn't even trying. Now, I wrote a column immediately following the October 7th massacre in which I admonished the Israelis not to overreact. Appealing to their Torah tradition, I cited Exodus chapter 21. This is the famous eye-for-eye reference for all Jews and Christians alike. Quote, "But if there is a serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise." So important is this commandment that it has become foundational for all of Western civilization. In the ancient world, it was not unusual for a tribe that had a member murdered, for instance, to seek revenge upon the entire family or even entire tribe of the offender. Whole generations could be laid waste by clan revenge. But it is a time-honored tenet in Western legal systems that the murderer only shall face the ultimate punishment. Not their family, not their relatives or fellow tribe members, only one eye for one eye. Today, the most accepted number of Palestinians dead is 34,000. Major American news outlets such as the Wall Street Journal, National Public Radio, and Forbes will attest to this number. But it's worse than that, much worse. On January 26, 2024, the International Court of Justice, the only international court that hears disputes among nations and an affiliate of the United Nations, ruled that there was probable cause to support an allegation that Israel was performing a genocide against the Palestinian people. The court ordered that Israel provide, quote, immediate and effective measures, unquote, to protect the Palestinian residents living in the Gaza Strip. You see, Israel has the power to control life and death in Gaza. The Palestinian people, mainly Muslims, along with some Christians and other ethnic groups, are by a few generations removed from the Bedouin shepherds who used to occupy this area. A poor people, they have nonetheless, with the help of outside agencies and charities, built mosques, churches, hospitals, and universities. But most of these edifices have now been destroyed in this current IDF campaign. Almost all of the aid the Palestinians receive is from international charities and NGOs, non-governmental organizations. No nations support the Palestinians, and what aid Gaza does receive must be inspected and transported through Israeli checkpoints. Israel, on the other hand, enjoys the complete support of the United States. For years, the U.S. has supplied the most advanced military arms and equipment, as well as financial support to Israel. Regrettably, many of America's most advanced armaments, such as the F-16 fighter jet, as well as advanced artillery and personal arms, are being used against the Gazans. When all of these facts were presented to the ICJ, the court ruled 16-0 with one abstention that the case against Israel should proceed, with Israel in the meantime making every effort not to harm the Palestinians was the order, something that Israel had steadfastly refused to do as it presses forward with its assault on Gaza. Shortly, the case against Israel will make its way to the United Nations General Assembly, where an up or down vote will be taken to determine if indeed Israel is committing genocide in the eyes of the world. It is within the UN's power to send peacekeeping forces to Gaza to enforce any UN ceasefire. The vast majority of countries within the UN have indicated that they would vote for such a resolution. Unfortunately, the United States would likely veto it. Now, this is a very brief and bare recitation of the straightforward facts that what's happening in Gaza. I sincerely pray that my fellow boomers will take a few moments to become more acquainted with this earth-shattering conflict. It is producing a moment just like when you and I faced back in the 60s and 70s during the Vietnam War. On one side, the collective resources, power, and influences of two of the most powerful governments and association agencies on Earth, Israel and the United States. On the other hand, stands a ragtag group of college students with absolutely nothing to gain and everything to lose. Each day they go before a college administration that berates them, risking all time and money they've spent in pursuit of their degrees, only to be called a radical, no good, anti-American, anti-Semite. They are often framed to show them in the worst light that they may not give the best answer to an unsuspecting question, or they may be caught in the wrong place. Don't be surprised to find out that many of these students have been set up, and what's worse, to find out that bad actors have infiltrated their demonstration. I remember this nation as being torn apart by the anti-war demonstrations of the past, and it's my sincere prayer that we can avoid that this time. To my fellow boomers, please listen to your students. And that's the value side. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are simply my own.